It's 3 minutes after, so I figured we could go ahead and get started.
Okay.
One thing, a little bit of housekeeping. The first thing, please make sure your phone is muted if you're not speaking. Otherwise, we get a lot of feedback, your phone or your computer, whatever you're calling in on. This meeting is being recorded per the governor's executive order and will be made available on the department website either later today or Monday morning, so it can be shared. And a few things to note. So in the documents, excuse me, I thought I had a sneeze, but I didn't. In the document, I shared a draft of the needs assessment summary and a draft of the multiple needs by region for 2020, along with the February report. For the needs assessment summary, just to note, we're still in the review process with that, so there might be some changes specifically with Region 1's data, but none of the needs will change. So all of the needs are the same. We're just working with Region 1 right now to work out some data clarification. So I just wanted to point that out, that it may change from this document, but none of the needs that are identified will change. As far as, do you want me to go through the attendance for what I have available in front of me now to make it go a little quicker?
Sure.
Okay. So I have Amy Holland on the call. I have Avis Easley on the call. Ben Harrington, Laura Berlin, Kurt Hipple, Kirby Fi, and is there anyone I have missed?
Gail Lodato, Region 3.
Hi, Gail.
Hi.
Anyone else? Okay, well, Ben, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Okay, so let's first start with that one-page document, Kirby, y'all have made that lists the 2020 needs assessment summary by category. Let's first start with the mental health ones. Laura and Gail, you got any conclusions you want to draw looking at the mental health needs identified?
I'm afraid, Laura, I don't have anything profound to offer here, guys. yeah, I don't have anything to add. You know, I think I always have a hard time taking what I know of what's going on and making sure we're accurately putting out what the highest priorities are. And so I don't want to interfere with those of you who do have a better grasp and ability to set priorities here.
Right. Gail, what about you?
I want to make sure I'm on the right one, the right attachment. Is this with the two from Region 4 and one from Region 6?
Yes.
Or am I? Okay, that is the right one. Okay, so I was on that call where we discussed those, and I believe that with the first one there, which is actually proposal number two, there seemed to be a lot of support.
Oh, wait, I think you're, sorry, Gail, you're looking at the legislative proposal.
Oh, heck, where am I supposed to be?
It's okay. I send out 10,000 emails a day. it is I sent it out yesterday around 5 o'clock, and it should be total documents for today's meeting. And we're looking at multiple needs by region. It's a one pager that just pulls needs that have been identified in two or more regions throughout the state.
All right. Well, then let's give me one quick second. There it is. I see it. Okay.
Okay.
I would just say same continued. I agree with those concerns, and some are already in process and need to continue, and others probably need a little more focus. Those four. Got it.
Okay. Now, Kirby, let me follow Dale and ask a question. Is there any historical content for any of these identified needs? And I guess what I'm asking is, was the same need for enhancing the children's youth crisis continuum, was that cited in 2019 and in 2018 and in 2017? Do we have any data about that?
I can pull up last year's and the year before. I will say that the first time I did the needs assessment, a lot of these could have just stayed the same. You just like replaced the region underneath. It was kind of like filling the blank because they were continuously identified. This
right.
year in both mental health and substance abuse, it changed quite a bit. It was more, it was different needs identified or less regions could identify those similar needs and instead looking at different needs in the region, but they didn't, you know, they don't pop up on that multiple region list because maybe only one region identified it. So you'll see kind of a difference where some regions have focused on other needs, they're just not listed there. But let me, I could pull up last year's if you want me to go through that for mental health.
But it might be worthy of just adding some analysis when we send it forward. For example, the Children's Youth Crisis Continuum, if there's a history of this item being recommended multiple years, and I think there is in that case, as there is with transitional housing and recovery housing. I think it's important for this committee to remind the department that there is a longstanding need that's been identified and then cite the years in which it was identified. You know, you don't have to rewrite the whole thing, but just like sort of say, too, yeah, it's occurring over time.
Hey, Ben, this is Laura. I agree with that observation. So, I mean, being involved at Renewal House and being on the Children's Committee and just looking at this over time, I can't think of a time where CSUs for youth, for example, wasn't a topic of discussion, whether it made it on the assessment or not. And so if a bell keeps, you know, if it keeps on being rung, then I feel like it's the obligation of the body to lift that up as,
right.
And I think we've also in recent years, Kirby, I don't know, you and Avis have worked hard to make sure to report back what actions have been taken and what progress has been taken or made. And I think that's important for everybody so that they also don't feel like this is a toothless process.
Right.
Hey Ben, this is Avis. So while Kirby's looking at that, looking it up, I don't have it in front of me either. But if my memory serves me right, for the last 5 years, we've had the crisis stabilization unit CSUs on that has been repeated by several regions. I think the crisis continuum from children and youth has probably been on there for the last maybe 2 or 3. And again, when Kirby looks it up, she can confirm that. But that's kind of what I remember without seeing it in front of me, just quickly.
Yeah,
Avis. So last year, it didn't say children, youth, crisis continuum. Last year, it was increasing the number of CSUs for adults and children, CSUs and respite centers for adults and children. It wasn't worded as crisis continuum solely for youth.
Okay. So they may be fairly new and may have crept back up. I don't know if it was 2018 or 2017, but I know for sure the CSUs has been on this for about 5 years.
Yeah, and in the crisis continuum, that includes CSUs. So,
yes.
And this is Gail. There was also, I think last year, maybe it was the year before, exploring being for those providing crisis services to be able to bill insurance managed care companies. And that was 1 year as well.
I believe you're right, Gail. That rings a bell to me.
I remember that. Okay, so the thing I see when I look at this is, you know, that the service continuum seems to be fairly balanced. If you look at it from what are the needs that are identified, you know, that back in the day, and I'm talking like 15 years ago, this was easy because there were like six regions all saying they wanted the same thing. Now what you've got is multiple needs identified by two or three regions or two regions and one of the committees. So I guess what that's showing is that, you know, to the state's credit, the system has been evolving and that the need is not so stark in one particular area, I guess. All right, any other comments?
Man, this is Avis. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to ask if there are any other comments on the mental health needs.
No, I was just going to comment too, Ben, that I think what you just said is right. There's probably been some movement on that. Not probably, there has been some movement on that over the years. Of course, we have several regions that still feel that there is a need for that in that particular area. But I remember there was one year, and you're right, Ben, it was one year that we had, out of the seven regions, we had five.
Yeah.
That was listed. So it appears to be that there have been some changes and movement in this since that time.
Right, right. That was back in the day when Region 3 had the only CSU and everybody else was jealous as heck and wanted one. So.
You're absolutely correct. That is right.
Yeah. All right, so can someone answer for me, what is the difference between the transitional housing request versus the recovery housing request? Is transitional housing step down from a state hospital before placement?
Hey, Ben? Ben? Yes. Yeah, it's so basically with the multiple need by region, last year we had two separate for recovery housing and then one for transitional housing because it was requested separately by region. This year, there was one region that requested recovery and transitional in the same need. But that was about it. It was mainly just recovery. So, yes, I think, and the way it was worded is recovery housing, it includes transitional housing, too. So it's
okay.
Just like a full continuum, yeah.
Right, okay. But so it's if you look at this, we've got increasing housing in both the mental health side and the substance use side. Okay. I'm good with all that. Anybody else? Questions, concerns?
This is Laura, and I'm here.
Okay. So what do we need to do with this list then, Kirby? We need to recommend it get sent to the commissioner?
Yes, so we haven't, we're still in the review stages. So yes, after you all review and approve and other members of the department leadership review and approve, it goes right to commissioner.
Okay. Well,
yeah, Ben, do you mind if we, Kurt, do you have anything to add on top of that or anything to nudge on or push at?
I don't. I think y'all are have added some good context to the needs that have been presented. I've reviewed this, and I know Matt Yancey has reviewed it as well. And I think between y'all's review and the levels of the review that have happened from Kirby and Avis, me and Matt, I think we'll have a good document for Commissioner to take a look at, and I know that she will really appreciate the hard work that's gone in and then bring her own perspective to things. So thank you.
So I guess my only last question would be, most of these discussions happened before people fully understood the coronavirus situation and the risks to mental health that it certainly exacerbates. Is there, I mean, maybe that's opening a can of worms, but is there any need to have some kind of second pass with those lights are shining on the issue?
Hey, Laura, I think what we did is with, I think Kirby and Avis did a great job of anticipating that, and they actually gave the regions two extra weeks to take a look at this and modify. So I think if you look through the document, I think Region 3 did a great job of actually bringing up COVID-19. Some others did as well. So I think that is something that factored in. Of course, we won't know until several months from now just how bad it's going to get finance-wise. But I think that was something that Avis and Kirby took into account.
Okay. Yeah, I saw it in the document. I didn't realize that they got an extra 2 weeks to kind of roll around with that information. Cool. So it feels like we can check that box to the best of our ability right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Laura, this is Avis too. In addition to what Kurt said and piggybacking off of that, we did have a couple of regions who even could not meet the April 15th deadline, which again was pushed up from the first. And we worked with them and told them we understood because they were just swamped with the things that they were doing in their facility or agency. And so we actually ended up really, to tell you the truth, it was actually ended up being about a month. So we did account for that and allow and work with them totally.
Good. Good. Thank you, Avis. Okay, so can someone make a first on the motion to forward the draft of the needs assessment summary to the commissioner with the notation of multiple years of a similar recommended?
I can. This is Gail. I can make a first.
Thank you, Gail. So, Laura, will you do the second?
I am. I actually wondered if I'm even an official member of this committee, and if I am, I'm happy to do that. I got on the call because I got sent the email, and I tried to do what I'm told to do. So,
okay. You
let me know. I'm happy to make a second if I'm qualified to do so.
Okay.
Laura, you are a member.
Okay, that's good.
I make a second.
Thank you, Laura. All right. So, all in favor of forwarding this list of identified needs to the commissioner with the number of years that need has been recommended, noted, please say aye.
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 All right. Very good. The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Okay, Ms. Kirby, we are now on to the February report on the three-year plan.
All right.
You still there?
Yeah, have you all had time to review? It's been done for a couple months. I shared it a while ago, but we pushed back this meeting because it was easier to do this meeting in conjunction with the needs assessment review. So this was sent out in March, I believe. And really the things to look at are pages 20 through, I think it goes through 37. 20 through 37. Those are the reporting documents for the programs that are listed in the beginning section of the plan. So August reports, we don't start, that probably won't come out until September-ish. But this is just looking at the first half of fiscal year 2020 to see what's being done, if there's any explanation that's needed. For example, if it looks like a division or office isn't close to meeting their goal, or they're not on track to meet their goal, they provide an explanation for why that might be, or, you know, another explanation that states, no worries, we'll meet the goal, the second half of the year is when this takes place, etc. So I didn't really see, this goes through so many review stages. So we try to, you know, hammer out any questions or problems we might, or concerns we might see before it's done. So there's nothing that really stands out to me at all as far as any program not being on track to meet their goal. Now, who knows if that will look different because of COVID, the August report. There might be quite a few explanations, but as far as the first half of the year goes, everything looks on track.
Yeah. I have to say, every time I see this report, I'm blown away. So by how well the report is done, how thoughtful it is. You know, we can always pick around the edges of things we wish we could improve, but I'm kudos to you guys. I'm always really impressed.
Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
It does look good.
And you'll see, so for the past 2 years for this report, I've made notations for when a program is taking a need that was identified in a needs assessment. So for FY 2020, you'll see through this report needs that or programs that they might not be word for word from an identified need, but it's a program that has taken that need into account in or an office that has taken that need into account to develop a program. So I hope you find that helpful as well. So people who see this can see, hey, these needs are being seen and they're being used if they're able to be used. You know, there's budgetary reasons and all different things that could get in the way. But just so everyone knows, you know, the department gets this needs assessment and they use it.
Yeah, I guess what I'm interested in knowing at some point, too, you know, I know that the department and every contract agency has been, you know, hyper-focused on their COVID response and stepping up service delivery and changing how they deliver services or flexing their models to accommodate. And I'm wondering, do we need to start, Kirby, thinking about how to report that flexibility that, you know, obviously the department may have had to embrace internally with their own services, or, you know, externally with all the contract agencies, and be prepared and figure out how to report that for the August report.
Okay, so as far as each division, I'm sure they're working with their own contracts and agencies on you know, reporting and how they do things. It's a odd time, that's for sure. And flexibility is key. But I imagine that for the August report, we're going to see quite a lot of explanations being filled that relates to how they're working with each program and how they made it work. And they begin working. Sorry?
That's absolutely fair for every department and every grant agency at this point. You know, they all have to get creative.
Yeah.
But I will tell you also that the number of people that we've served has increased because of COVID. It's brought a ton of people out of the woodwork that we never knew before. And I'm sure that's true for folks like McNabb, too.
Okay.
Being this Davis, and on some of these numbers, we may see a big uptick, depending on what the needs were and what the target range was. And a lot of times, you know, the target that we have that number, but depending on what it is with the COVID-19, we might see them surpass the number or not meet because of the fact that not being able to go out to do training, although we're trying to do everything via electronically with webinars. So hopefully that will continue and not have a disruption. But there are some things that will be disrupted. So as you said, we'll see some differences, but we may see some upticks too.
Okay. Well, sounds good. Do we need to approve this report? What do we need to do?
It's really just for you all to review. It's been approved by the commissioner, and we share it for review with the statewide council before that as well, in case there's any questions or concerns. So it's already approved. It's really just for you all to take a look at to see what's going on with the department as far as the needs assessment go as well. And if you have any questions as far as, you know, the next 3-year plan, which they'll be working on soon, and August reports and stuff like that.
All right. So now let me ask you this. Has this report, February report, been shared with the 7 regional councils yet?
Yes. Every chair and vice chair is on the statewide planning and policy council. So when I send that out to the email group that is just the statewide planning and policy council, I ask them to share with their council members. And I've also brought this up with my department updates in April and May with a link to it in case anyone hasn't seen it.
Okay. And then I guess my next question is, with the needs assessment list that you created with the multiple with the needs being referenced by multiple regions, has that document or set of documents been sent to the councils yet, or that goes out after it goes to the commissioner?
It goes out afterwards, and it's also posted on our department website.
Okay, good. All right. Well, I just wanted to make sure I knew I wasn't not supposed to share it with anybody. I'll wait on you.
Yeah, just wait. Just wait, since it's still in the draft stages. But as soon as it's done, it'll be shared with everyone.
Well, that's awesome. Awesome. Okay. So that leads us to extremely minor things to do. One is to look at when we want to have a meeting the next time. Is there a specific month you need us to do that, Ms. Kirby?
So last year, the August reports were kind of delayed because those numbers, you know, they come from providers, and their reporting period might look different than us. So there was kind of a delay with numbers, and I want to say it wasn't finalized until like the first week in October. So it might be good to look at maybe scheduling it mid-October, if you're okay with that, and I can reach out to everyone.
Yeah, I'm going to have to exercise chairperson's rights to kind of delay when I agree to set that up.
Okay.
Because, you know, our symposium is supposed to be the 1st and 2nd of October, but, you know, we're in the group of large meetings that has to figure out how to be extremely flexible and either do a live meeting, do a meeting that's live and has the virtual option for some folks, or just move it all to virtual, and I don't know what that's going to do to us. And so that's my only hesitation with saying, yeah, let's pick a date in October.
We don't have to pick a date anytime soon. I'll be in touch with you probably in August.
I should know by then.
Okay.
Thank you. So that one's easy. We've done that. Now, so to recap today, you're going to send the needs assessment document to the commissioner with the multiple years noted that some of those issues or needs have been identified.
Uh-huh.
And that's it, right?
Yep, that's it.
Okay. So, Gail or Laura, is there anything else you want to address today?
No,
I do not have anything.
Thank you, everybody. You guys are awesome.
Okay. Good. Kurt, Avis, Kirby, is there anything else you want to address today?
Just thank y'all for getting on the call. Thanks for everything you're doing and for your keen eye and perspective on this. It's been very fortunate to have providers and advocates like y'all help us through this. And I want to thank Avis and Kirby and Amy for all the hard work that they've done. They've really shone pretty brightly during this time, so thank you.
All right. Well, seeing nothing else, I will close with this. Amy and Kirby and Avis, thank you so much for not letting Kurt Hipple sing to us on the call today.
Hey, Ben.
Call's not over yet.
Hey, Ben, that would have been a treat, though. See, you missed out on a good treat, and today is Friday, too. Kurt could have took us on into the weekend. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate you all and all that you're doing. I know it's tough for everybody. We're all trying to be flexible and just work together and support each other. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Have a good weekend.